Hey everyone, welcome to the Walking Closer podcast. This is episode 119, titled How Fast Are You Going? And it's all about the hurried lifestyle and what it's possibly doing to us. So thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
We're all formed by our life experiences, but sometimes these experiences shape us in negative ways. And the process of spiritual transformation can help undo those negative impacts so we can live life to the fullest. And Walking Closer is all about this journey through internal transformation where real changes happen from the inside out.
One of my favorite places on earth is right outside of a little town called Quitman here in Texas. It's a little cabin tucked away on a hill in the midst of some trees, and it's overlooking a lake surrounded with woods and trails, and it's just so beautiful, so peaceful, and so alive with life. It's one of my favorite places because when I am there, I am never more aware and in tune with the presence of God in this world. I believe this is the case because when I am there, I'm not rushing around. Like, I have slowed down my pace. It's much easier. And it was out in this sort of space that I really began to examine my own lifestyle, my own daily rhythms, and what it was doing to me. And it was also in this space that I realized that this could be a reality, no matter where I was. See, this was so important to me because the reality was there were certain ways I was living, certain rhythms I had fallen into, mainly this fast-paced, hurried lifestyle, and it was destroying me. Like, I was struggling. I was struggling with my relationship with God. I was very irritable and had become hypersensitive to the littlest things. Like, I couldn't even begin to be present to anyone. I was miserable, and this was not who I wanted to be. And so I began to give attention to how I was living, my daily rhythms. And it's been quite a journey since those days. And I have returned back to that cabin multiple times since then. And I still, though, continue to give attention to these things. But I think one of the most valuable things I have learned is that I don't have to go to that little cabin in the woods to be aware of and in tuned to God's presence in this world. Like, I don't have to go out there to experience peace and joy, although it's very helpful, but it's not just out there. Like, I can have that wherever I am, and it has everything to do with my lifestyle, with my life rhythms. You see, the way we live our lives can either strengthen or weaken our relationships with God. In fact, it does the same with our relationships with people or just with life, period. Like, there are certain rhythms of life that can either bring us closer or further away from the joy and peace that God desires for us. And now when we say things like this, you may start thinking about the lifestyles that included things like hard partying, right? Debauchery, maybe even how you used to live. Now, while that sort of lifestyle definitely does this, that's not the only kind of lifestyle that can do these things to us. See, hurried lifestyles, these chronic, unhealthy busyness can do the same. See, they can be major factors in why we can feel so disconnected from God, disconnected from self and other people. Like, it contributes to this internal restlessness that so many people feel, this ambient tension that is always just right under the surface for so many. And it doesn't go away. Like, and even our downtime reflects the consequences of this sort of lifestyle and the reality of this internal restlessness. Like, hear me out here. Listen to this. If during your downtime you find yourself going into a state of escapism, like seeking out emotional, mind-numbing distractions. You need to take note of that. See, because it's a reflection of your lifestyle. See, there are reasons you're wanting to escape. There are reasons, right, we seek distractions to help us manage life. And so I think it's good for us to look at our own lives and assess whether we are suffering from this chronic busyness and hurried lifestyles. So John Mark Comer addresses these things in his book titled The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I'll have appropriate links in the description or show notes to some of the things that I say, to this book, and to maybe some other resources that are connected with the ideas that I'm talking about here. But one, look, I encourage you to get the book, read it. It's been very helpful for me. And one of the things, though, that he mentioned was something I had not heard of. And it's what psychologists are calling hurry sickness, which is a behavior pattern that has to do with chronic rushing and anxiousness and the sense of urgency we feel when there really is no reason for it. It's not saying that there aren't times, right? But it's when these things kick in and there really is no reason. Like, they don't have to kick in, but yet we feel them. We're living in them. And then as a result, right, we are rushing around, always feeling like we don't have enough time. So we do things as fast as we can. And if something comes along and slows us down, what happens? Well, we get frustrated. We get upset because we feel like something or someone is now in our way. And so this really intrigued me. So I did some further research about this idea of hurried sickness. And it turns out that it's a real big thing, especially as of lately. Like, I found lots of articles and various reports on it posted by places like the Huffington Post, MSN, Fortune, and various psychological online magazines. And in fact, as I continue to dig, and it turns out there seems to be a direct connection to what we call FOMO, or fear of missing out. I don't know about you, but I can remember when that terminology began to be used. And at least it doesn't seem like it was that long ago. But it turns out the first paper written about this was back in 2000. It took a little while for the language, right, to catch on and for it to become a common thing that was talked about and even used in advertisements. But the reality is, while it seems like it was a fairly recent thing, at the core of what it is has always existed. I think it's found in the ideas like the grass is always greener on the other side type of mentality. But while it has always kind of been there, right, it hasn't been to the level we now see it. And in such a personal way that is so detrimental. I mean, when you can't put your phone down to pay attention to what's in front of you because you don't want to miss what that notification is saying, we have a problem. In fact, one article referenced that some studies estimate that 70% of all adults in developed countries suffer from this FOMO in a what they call an all-consuming way. I mention it now because I believe it's a contributing factor in our pace of life and our lifestyles and what we're feeling and why we do what we do and our rhythms. And for many of us, right, it's a problem. Now, being busy, okay, is normal. We have all sorts of responsibilities. We have work and family and friends and all the other things that we like to do. And being busy is not the problem, though. The problem is we could become so busy that it becomes detrimental to our lives. Like, we can become so busy that our awareness of God's presence decreases. Our relationship with Him begins to suffer. We can become so busy that our time spent with those we love diminishes, and those relationships can deteriorate as well. I mean, what does it say when we internally feel like we do not have the capacity to give attention to what should matter the most, to who should matter the most to us? Why is it that we don't feel like we have the time for God, for others, for true self-care? Okay, not this mind-numbing escapism, but for true self-care. I believe it has a lot to do with our lifestyles, our life rhythms. And now, while that may be the case, the beautiful thing is that we can choose differently. So for the next few moments, I want to spend some time specifically talking about some of the symptoms of hurry sickness, because there first needs to be an awareness, right? Is this something that we are suffering from? Is this something that we may personally be dealing with? And so in John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, he mentions 10 symptoms of hurry sickness. He lists things like irritability and hypersensitivity, restlessness, workaholism, or just the nonstop activity, like always feeling like you have to have something to do, emotional numbness, out of order priorities, lack of care for your body, escapist behaviors, slippage of spiritual disciplines, and isolation. And as I did my research, I've seen symptoms like this mentioned in others. And he gives descriptions under each, and some, though, of these really resonated with me as some things I have experienced before, and even some things I experience when I fall into this trap today. And I want to talk just a little bit about some of these. Like, for instance, he mentions irritability. And then while irritability can be an indicator of many things, as many of these symptoms, right? For me, though, it definitely is definitely something that tends to surface when I fall into this trap. Something he specifically mentioned that really resonated with me was getting to the point where people have to tiptoe around your ongoing low-grade negativity, if not anger. Now, I am not naturally a negative person, but I can look back on my life and see several years where this really was the case, and you would question whether or not that statement I just made was true. And even to this day, it serves as an indicator for me that I have fallen into this rut. And it goes back to this feeling of having, you know, just being stressed out, feeling like I have way more to do than I really have to do. It comes back to this the striving that I find myself doing, this rut of always feeling like I don't have enough time and I have way more than it needs to be done. And this stuff has to get done, and feeling like I'm rushing, but really rushing nowhere. And man, when I fall into those places, yeah, there is this low-grade ambient tension that surrounds me. And, I can see how, and I know that there are people who have had, felt like they have had to kind of tiptoe around all of that. And even today, whenever when I see that as being a reality, like I even sense this low-grade negativity in myself, yeah, it's oftentimes, not always, but it's oftentimes an indicator that I've kind of fallen into this rut again. Another one of those symptoms that resonated with me was the hypersensitivity, where he says these little turn of events throw you into an emotional funk and they ruin your day. And this is definitely something I have experienced in my life, sporadically, but definitely there. Like my day will be going just fine, and then something small will happen, and suddenly my whole mood and outlook has changed, and it's changed for the worse. Like there are always these moments when this happens, when, I just kind of go off, and then I come to my senses and recognize that something very insignificant just completely derailed me. And I wonder, like, what was all that about? Like, what just happened? And for me, again, not always, but definitely sometimes, it's often an indicator for me that I need to slow down. There's a reason why that happened. And again, it's not just a symptom of this hurried sickness, if you will, But for me, it's definitely an indicator at times, and that this is the case for me. Another one of those symptoms for me is restlessness. He mentions a couple of things here, like having, when you have quiet time with God, but you can't focus your mind, doing things like watching TV, and at the same time, simultaneously checking your phone, like your mind and body are just hyped up on the drug of speed, and so it's like you're looking for the next dopamine fix. For me, I have times where I will first begin to feel this internal restlessness, where I can't focus while I'm awake. And then while trying to sleep, my mind is filled with anxiety and I'm constantly working out scenarios in my mind. I used to do this all the time. Now, thankfully, it's not the norm. But yeah, it's definitely an indicator for me that I have connected to my pace of life. And it's one of those things that gets my attention now. If I find myself when during the day I can't focus, and at night when my mind is just racing with these scenarios, it's time to pause and recognize where I am. And again, it's oftentimes connected to my own personal pace of life. Another one of those he lists was workaholism, or feeling like you always have to be doing something. He mentions what he calls sunset fatigue, okay, where by the end of the day, you have nothing left to give to your spouse, your children, your loved one. Like, they get the, what he calls the grouchy, curt, overtired you. Now, I think I resonate with this one more than any other. And it's probably because this was the most recent symptom I became aware of. Several months back, went on a retreat, was in Colorado. And right before that retreat, one of the things that I recognized was that by the time I got home at the end of the day, I felt like I had nothing left to give, and I was not able to be there for my kids. Like, I would hear things that was going on, that things that I knew that I could speak into, that even some things that maybe I had spoken into earlier in the day in someone else's life. And I am sitting there in front of my own children, and I'm thinking, wow, I just recently heard this, or I just recently walked along somebody else who was dealing with this. But yet, and I can speak into that, but yet right now, I don't feel like I have the mental capacity to do this. That's not okay. Like, that's a problem for me. And it was during the process of this retreat that I realized that, yeah, that's connected to some rhythms, some lifestyle. The hurry lifestyle is an indicator for me. It's indicative, my daily rhythms and this hurried lifestyle. And this one was huge for me, and is one that, I began to give it some attention to those rhythms and change some things. And yeah, it's been a big eye opener. So I think this one hits with me the most because it's the most recent. This one was huge, huge for me. I'll go into greater detail at another time. Because this was a huge part of helping me realize the need to slow down even further. He mentioned a few other things like emotional numbness, not having the capacity to feel another person's pain. Man, I really experienced that in my 20s. I look back and I was definitely living the fast-paced life back then. In the fast lane completely. And I was loving every minute of it, but I was so miserable. I really was. But one of the things that I remember taking note of when I was coming out of that sort of lifestyle was not really having the capacity to feel other people's pain. And definitely experienced that one. He also talks about escapist behaviors. And of course, I lived a whole season, decade of my life just trying to escape life, really. Being consumed with the various distractions and using various escapist behaviors to manage life, right? Manage the pain of life. But one of the things that he mentions here was extremely important and still resonates with me today. Being, with these escapist behaviors, being too tired to do what's actually life-giving. And he says, and we turn to our distraction of choice. This is the whole binging thing, right? Binging whatever. And I know like Netflix and other TV or movies, whatever platforms, they get the front end of all of this. But we binge way more than just simply movies and TV shows, right? We binge lots of things. This includes food and sex and shopping and, you know, whatever other behaviors that it's kind of like our drug of choice that helps us to, it distracts us from the emotions that we're feeling. It medicates us to some degree, and it allows us to go to a completely different place. And so these escapist behaviors is definitely something that I have a lot of experience with and still today at times can tell, yeah, what's going on here, especially with food. Food is a big thing. But these are some of the symptoms, though, that I have personally experienced in the past. And I encourage you, you know, seriously, you read the book or you just go to, you Google some of this stuff. The information's out there. These are the symptoms that I have personally experienced in the past, and some are still indicators for me that I am living just a little too fast and have fallen into this hurried trap. And if any of these symptoms resonate with you, it may mean that it's the case for you as well. And like I said, I think it's good for us to stop and consider what always living in a hurry is doing to us. And when I do, I just can't help but think of how living in this state of chronic hurriedness does not help me live the abundant life that Jesus offers. In fact, it does quite the opposite. It robs me of life. And when I don't have the mental capacity to appreciate life and what's in front of me and the blessings, and I overlook them all, I don't see them there. I don't have time for God, I don't have time for others, for myself, and even when there's downtime, it's not really restful, right? It's just I'm trying to medicate and manage what I have just come out of or have been going through. That is just not helpful. It robs me of life, and that is not what I want. It's not how I want to live because I just don't think it's living at all. And John Mark references this author of a book called The Burnout Society, who made this observation about most people in the Western world. And it's so good. He says, they are too alive to die and too dead to live. See, we live in a culture that's filled with distraction and addiction, some of which is brought on by our own pace of life. And so many are stuck in these perpetual cycles because they are expectations that are ingrained in our minds about what success is and what living is. And we get caught in these cycles of not living. And we just think this is the way life is. But it's not the way of the easy yoke of Jesus, where we walk with him by our side, learning how to live from a place of internal rest. In fact, it's quite the opposite. And I believe that the yoke of Jesus resists that sort of lifestyle. It's what I experience in my own journey because it constantly brings me back. It's like the thing that's tapping me on the shoulder. It's getting my attention. Hey, something's not right here. What is this? It constantly brings me back. And that's what the yoke does. And as I keep saying, I think it's a good thing to look at our lifestyles, our rhythms, and assess what they're doing for and to us. And so if you can relate, there's a couple of scenarios that are mentioned in the book and I saw mentioned in a couple of other publications. If you can relate to these scenarios like this, like if you're moving from one checkout line to another because it looks shorter or faster, if you're counting the cars in front of you and either getting in that lane that has the lane that has the least, right? Or is going the fastest. If you're multitasking to the point of forgetting one of the tasks, yeah, you may be suffering from hurried sickness, or you may be living this hurried, chronic, unhealthy, hurried pace of life. If you look at your life and you can't say that you are living, or that you are on your way to living an emotionally healthy, spiritually rich, and vibrant life, a life that is abundant, the hurried lifestyle may be the culprit, may be the hindrance to this, may be blocking us. If you find yourself constantly irritated, hypersensitive, restless, yeah, this may be the reason. If you are a workaholic, always having to do something, can never sit still, yeah, this may be why. If you experience this emotional numbness, feeling disconnected from your identity, consumed with what seems urgent over what's really most important. Yeah, this may be why you may be living this sort of lifestyle. If you don't have time for self-care, any downtime is not really, you know, restful. If you engage in mind-numbing escapism, yeah, this may be the lifestyle you're living. You know, things like, when you think about it, things like love and joy and peace are at the core of the fruit of following Jesus and all incompatible with hurry. And so if you can't find these in your life, that says something. If you struggle turning your attention towards God for either long or even short periods of time, right? That says something. If you struggle with being present, yeah, this may be the problem. If you struggle with self-awareness even, yeah, this may be the reason why. If you struggle with being still, with concentrating and contemplating, yeah, this may be the reason why. So here are some questions that might be helpful for you to ask yourself as you assess, examine your own life. Does your lifestyle enhance or diminish your relationship with Jesus? Do your life rhythms help you love others? Or are you going too fast to recognize anyone? Well, you don't have time, right? What does your downtime look like if you have it? I think these are some good questions to ask yourself and answer, right? That might help you assess maybe where you are and whether or not you need to give some attention to your lifestyle, your rhythms, your pace of life. One of the things that's mentioned in The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, which I thought is just an excellent paragraph, when he talks about what hurry does, he says, hurry kills relationships. Love takes time. Hurry doesn't have it. It kills joy, gratitude, appreciation. People in a rush don't have time to enter the goodness of the moment. It kills wisdom. Wisdom is born in the quiet, the slow. Wisdom has its own pace. It makes you wait for it. So wait for the inner voice to come to the surface of your tempestuous mind, but not until waters of thought settle and calm. See, how we spend our time is how we live life. I think John Mark says, how we spend our time is how we spend our life. And this chronic hurried lifestyle, which brings on this internal restlessness that we feel, it's incompatible with love, joy, and peace. It kills relationships. It kills our ability to focus on what really matters. And as disciples of Jesus, I truly believe the hurried lifestyle is a hindrance to true transformation. So it's a good thing to look at our lifestyles and assess what it's doing for us, what it's doing to us. And if you find yourself resonating with anything that I have said, you may be living from a place of internal restlessness. You may be suffering from hurried sickness. So maybe, just maybe, you might need to slow down.